once again, it is good to be with you as we have gathered together and as we have appointed this particular time to study a portion of God's Word. We are glad for those who are our visitors, and we hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us as we gather from time to time to study God's Word, to worship Him. For the time that we have together this morning, I'd like to study a subject of simply, the Bible has the answers. And I am convinced that the Bible does have the answers to those things and those problems and troubles that arise in our day-to-day life. There are many problems that do arise in our society. And with the modern conveniences that we have been able to solve some of those with the technology and science and other things that we have been able to discover. But with the solving of some of those problems, we have created more. And with the complexity of certain things in our society, we have gotten to the point of the mentality that oftentimes we believe to think that it takes a specialist if something goes wrong, if we're going to get back on track. That we have this idea of there are those who are experts in certain fields, and they are going to be the ones that will be able to get us back on track or get back things operational. And it seems that the individual that we have referred to in times past as the jack of all trades, that person that's able to do just a little bit of everything, that he has become almost obsolete. That when problems arise, it's going to take an expert, because our society has become so complex and so complicated. And unfortunately, I believe that there's a lot of people who have that same type of mentality when it comes to a view of the Word of God. That they maintain that it has little relevance in our life, if any at all. That our world has become so complicated that we have advanced so far in technology and in science and in philosophies and all of the things that we are doing, that the Bible has become outdated. That it used to be adequate for an individual in years past, maybe 50, 60 years ago, but it is old now. It is archaic. It is outdated. And it doesn't address the needs that we have. It doesn't address the demands of this modern age. And once again, we have become so advanced in these areas that it takes something else. That it could handle the problems as long as the problems were simple. But with more complicated things, more complicated society and thinking, the Bible is really no more use to us. Even some of those who maintain that they have a belief in the Word of God have been deceived into thinking that there is something else that needs to be added to the Word, and they have concluded that it takes just a little bit of human wisdom to bring them up to finding God, to let them know more about God. And this is something that I believe is practiced in a lot of denominations, that as they strive to fit the Bible into their way of life, into their way of thinking, and into the human wisdom that they follow, their idea is, this is the way that I'm going to live, I'm going to follow my own wisdom. And they have fooled themselves into thinking that they are Christians by fitting some of the Bible into some areas of their life. But I am convinced that the Bible has the answers to our problems. The Bible has been given to us by God. It is His inspired Word, and I am convinced it will lead us into all right relationships, all proper relationships in this time that we have in physical life, and also will address especially our spiritual needs. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, we find Peter talking there concerning that we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All of those things that pertain unto godliness and how we are to live in this life, whether it be physical life, whether it be spiritual life, we have all things addressed in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We find there in the latter part of verse 17 that man has been given those things, the inspired Word of God, so that he will be equipped unto every good work. And I am convinced that this is included not only those spiritual things, but that he might live properly and acceptably in the sight of God, that it will address his problems, his needs, and his desires. And I am convinced that if man will allow it, the Bible will deal with and will answer every aspect of that individual's life. Whether it be problems that arise individually, whether it be problems that arise in that person's life by themselves that they must face, whether it be problems or troubles or discouragements that come in the family relationship or with society, and especially spiritually, the Bible has the answers for us. God speaks to us through his word, but we must listen to him. We have to listen if we are going to be pleasing in his sight. To the churches in Asia, he said in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, after he addressed each one with the problems that they had, he says there, John does, or Christ does, that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. God had spoken unto them. God had addressed their problems through John, and if they would just simply listen to the things, then these problems would be solved. Christ used the same phrase in Mark 7 and verse 16 when he was speaking to the Jews there about those things that defile an individual, that they come from within the person. He says that he that hath an ear, let him hear. We have an obligation to listen to the word of God. And as we listen to it, what we must do is strive to live by those things that are there. And for the time that we have together this morning, what I would like for us to do is deal with some of those problem areas in our life and in our society. We might say some of the burning issues of our day. And how does the Bible address these particular problems? Can we learn something from the Creator of man and the problems that man has? There are many things that we face in our society, and certainly this morning we're not going to be able to deal with all of them. But let us look at some of those problems that we have, some of those issues, where adversaries rise up one against the other. And let us see what God says concerning these things. How is it that the Bible then deals with certain things? And one of the things that is a real burning issue in our day and age is that of an individual and their rights. We hear this all the time in our society, that an individual's rights here or there, that they have been violated. And perhaps this is one of the most difficult problems and questions that will arise in our society. And that is the question over an individual's rights. We have all heard this idea of where does one person's rights end and another one begin? Where does my rights stop? Where do your rights take up? And certainly we don't infringe on one another's rights. And there's so much energy and time that is spent in these things in our legal system. So much work, so many people are spent in answering these matters, in answering these questions. There are rights and question of rights that rise between individuals, between corporations and businesses and individuals. There's rights even we find in the home between a husband and a wife and an employee and an employer. And even in sports we find the same thing, that there's a question of one's rights being violated, someone infringing on somebody else. And there's all kind of suing and litigation that goes on between one and the other as people are trying to solve the problem. People are trying to get at the one answer that will kind of be the common denominator, so that we can apply that particular thing to all situations and everybody will be happy. This idea of rights is one of the basic arguments that is made by those individuals who are for abortion, that they think that they have a right over their own body to do with that body whatever they want to. And here again, we have this kind of argument being made. And of course, in our society today, we find that the solutions, people think, are to be found in human wisdom. We turn to our own wisdom. We turn to our own philosophies and thinkings, and we try to find out what the answer is to all of these problems. And of course, as we have seen, nobody's agreeing on anything. It seems like the more we become versed in a certain area, the more problems that there are that arises, the more questions that there are that come. And these bring on greater complications simply because the laws that man wants to enforce are not perfect laws. Therefore, they're always going to have defects. They're always going to have faults. There's always going to be those loopholes that people are going to use to get out of them. But how is it that the Bible would deal with such questions as this? What is it that would help us in settling these burning issues concerning an individual's rights and how we are to act one toward the other? Is there a principle that is set down? Is there a command that is given that would fit every situation concerning these things? How does the Bible deal with it? Well, I am convinced that it is not by placing any kind of physical limitations on anybody. That it is not by placing some kind of legal limitations on the individuals that are in question. But I believe we have addressed for us in the Word of God a way in which we can handle this kind of question concerning the rights of individuals. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, we find Christ as he says there, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Now, I think if we, in certain situations that might arise in our life, that if we applied what Christ had to say here, we wouldn't be worrying about an individual's rights and infringing on that other person's rights. It would go a long way to settling a lot of the problems that we have. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, we find Christ saying there, and here again, not only in the area of rights do I believe this needs to be applied, but in just about every human relationship that we have. If this particular law or principle was applied there, then it would go a long way to solving a lot of our problems. When Christ said, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them." Now, how many problems would be solved if everybody would take that attitude? If everybody would follow the Word of God on this particular matter, and we treated others as we would want to be treated, so many problems would be solved. You know, we wouldn't have to worry about the abortion question at all. If that mother who wanted to abort that baby thought, do I want my baby doing that to me? Do I want that child doing this same thing to me? If the mother would think of that, we wouldn't have any problems as far as abortion is concerned. We wouldn't have problems in other areas if people would simply listen to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. We mentioned it in class this morning, but this is the second law, one of the two great laws that is given in the Old Testament. Christ reiterates them here. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, when it comes to a question of rights, whether we're infringing on one's rights or another, whether we want to take our neighbor to law or not, if we would think of this, then we could solve a lot of the problems that we have. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 10, we find Paul writing there, and he's along these same lines. As he makes mention, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. These things that are set down in the Word of God, if we would just treat each other in this way, so many of the difficulties that arose in this particular area would be settled. But you know, some people are going to argue with you that this certainly is a simplistic view. This is almost something that is unreal because you can't apply these things in our society today. It's unreal, it's simplistic to think that people are going to go by what the Bible has to say. And certainly I have. by one individual that I know, have been accused of being unreal almost. He told me that I was not living in the real world. As a matter of fact, his concept was that preachers don't live in the real world. What the conclusion I drew from that was that he simply thought that if you're teaching the Word of God, you can't apply that in the real world. It just doesn't work there. And some people have this concept that the Word of God is not going to work in the real world. That it's awfully simplistic of an individual to think that people are going to follow this. And certainly there are those individuals that are not going to abide by the law, but they're not going to abide by any law. But that doesn't mean it's not going to work. That doesn't mean that we can simply then take it and throw it away because one or two individuals are not going to follow it. It will work. It comes from God. It is directives from Him. And that means when we do not live by it, we are in open rebellion against the standard of God. It is a law that has been given by Him. And each and every one of us are subject to it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the Christian or the non-Christian. You're subject to the law of God. And you are going to answer to that if you ignore it. Obedience to the law of God would solve so many problems in this area of rights. And yet we don't turn to it. Our society refuses to because it wants to rely upon its own wisdom. It wants to rely upon its own solutions to the problem. God has given us a solution. All we have to do is implement those things in our life. If we would just follow this, then so many things would be solved. There's also the matter of security. Security is something that is an issue with most of us. And we want to talk about security in several areas here. For example, the material security that we have. This is one of the foremost problems and concerns of our day, especially in the nation in which we live, in the culture that we are a part of, and especially as we see the decline in the financial situations in most houses. There seems to be a rising cost of living. And in some families, the father or the mother has to hold down two or three jobs, not to have luxuries, but simply to make ends meet, they have to do this. And as a result, we find that there are all kinds of marital problems that arise between the husband and the wife. We find that there are troubles that arise between the parent and the children because they're not able to spend the time together that they ought to solve the problems that they have. Concern over providing for children. This often leads to neglected children, which is also a problem in our society. But I think the Bible addresses this problem. The Bible addresses it and it gives us the answer to these problems that might arise concerning security in the material sense. Christ said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." He was talking about those things that we worry about. Food and clothing and shelter. God is going to provide those things for us. God is going to make sure that his faithful children have those things. And so in our concern and in our worry over where things are going to come from, if we would just rely upon God, have faith in Him, then He will provide these things for us. He'll make sure that we're taken care of. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Here's an admonition from God to be content with what He provides for you. But so many people are not that way. And some who are Christians are caught up in this materialistic attitude that's found in the world. And as a result, their faith begins to slip away. Problems arise. The home begins to deteriorate. The relationship between the husband and wife gets the same way. When all they have to do, when the answer to their questions and their problems is, put your faith in God. And He's going to provide for you the things that you need. There is also a question and problems concerning civil, as we would call it, civil security. We worry from time to time about the laws that we have in our land. We worry from time to time about the criminals that are found in this country in which we live. And how many of you in the past 3 or 4 weeks, I don't know, you may not go back that far, and you have worried about things that have concerns over things in our justice system. And it seems like the individuals that are righteous, those that are just and trying to live by the law, those are the individuals that become the victims. And they're the ones that are ending up getting punished. They're the ones that are ending up having to go through all kinds of hardships. Where on the other hand, the individual that is the criminal, that he's getting away with everything. That he is having the state support him and educate him and one thing or another until finally the lawbreaker is free. And it seems like we're getting things backwards. Yet I believe the Word of God addresses problems such as this. If we would simply allow the Word of God to rule in our life as individuals and also collectively. In Romans chapter 13 and verses 1 through 4, we find Paul talking there about the civil government, that we are to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. We need to realize that we need to be in subjection to the civil governments, the laws that are ordained and given, because these are established by God. And if we would all do that, then many of our problems would be solved. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, a passage of Scripture, it perhaps has been quoted many times, but it shows what happens when people are not punished for the crimes and for the sins that they commit. Solomon made the comment there in 8 and verse 11, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the hearts of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. And we see that in our own society. If we would simply follow the Word of God, so many of these concerns that we have about civil security would be solved. But yet we don't turn to the Bible, do we? We turn to our own wisdom. We strive to establish laws that's going to make everybody happy. The Word of God finds us a solution if we would simply listen to it. There is also the idea of social security. I'm not talking about the government and the way we get paid or the way what we're looking forward to, but in family relationships, this kind of social security. Because we see in our society today so many problems that arise between the husband and wife. We find the blurring of the roles of the husband and wife. We find problems and difficulties that arise between the parent and the child. And even older members in the family sometimes wonder what's going to happen to them. Are they going to be shipped off somewhere? Are they going to be neglected by their family? And this is what happens so many times in our society. A person will get to a certain age and they'll almost be forgotten about. And this brings concerns to individuals. Well, I believe that the Bible addresses these things. And the Bible will solve our problems if we simply allow that. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 25 and 28 and 33, we find Paul there talking about the husband and wife relationship. How that the wife is to be in subjection to the husband. How that the husband is to love his wife as his own body. And if this were the way that we were, if this is the law that we would follow, then so many problems in the family would be resolved. In the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 4, we find the relationship there of the parent and the children, that they are to be brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that children are to honor and obey their parents in the Lord, for this is the first commandment with promise. If all of these things were followed, and again, people say, well, that's so simplistic. But if they were followed, if we would just adhere to the Word of God, so many problems would be solved. So many difficulties would be ironed out. But once again, we have this concept in our society today that the Bible is outdated. It's outmoded. It's so simple that it won't solve our problems. It will if we will allow it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, 4, and 16. We see there the security that is to be found in the family. Those who are older, that they'll be taken care of. That they should not have that to be concerned about. The Bible addresses these problems. If we would just simply allow it to have free course in our life, to live by those things that are there, then we can find out how to solve these things. Also in the workplace, and I'm sure we could go through and talk about many more. Certainly all of these things are not going to, we won't touch all bases. But again, in the workplace, we find that there's so many people that are unhappy. There's so many difficulties and problems that arise over strikes and labor disputes. Just this past week, we had a strike, and some of you may have been affected by that. And in times past, these are things that have caused a great deal of hatred even to arise among people, that they will even take other individuals' lives because of it. It has affected individuals and families and communities, and even whole nations have been affected by these things. And in the workplace today, we find because of the women and men working together, other problems that have arisen concerning sexual harassment and other things such as that. And I am convinced, though, that the Bible can deal and does deal with these problems. It will be the answer. It will be the solution if we will simply allow it to work, if we would follow the things that are there. These passages, as they are written down here, write them down, take them home, and read them, and see if they will not apply to some of these problems that we're talking about. But again, there is the accusation that might be made. Well, this is simplistic. This is really unreal. You can't expect people to live by such laws as this. But God's laws have been given so that they might govern man in this life. That's why we have them. God has given us these laws, these commands, and they are for our own happiness. And they are to direct us, and they are to solve the problems in our life. Now, if man chooses not to live by them, then he's going to have to answer to God. But if some choose not to obey, that doesn't relieve everybody else of the obligations that they have. It doesn't necessitate that what we're going to do is we're going to take the Bible and throw it away because some people won't live by it. And we're going to come up with something new, and we're going to come up with something better so that those solutions may be found. If man will not follow God's laws, you can be sure of it, he is not going to create a better one. The only thing he is going to create is a law that is inferior to the one that has been given by God. And it will not even come close to solving the problems that we face in our life. If man truly wants to solve the problems in his life, he will obey God. It's just that simple. He may not find the solutions in himself, but he will find the solutions in the Word of God. There are so many questions and problems that arise in the area of morals in our life. We are made to wonder just about every day what kind of standard of morality that some people are following. We have witnessed in our own lifetime a steady decline in morals. Some are immoral and some are amoral. They have none whatsoever, that they just have no morals at all. We are concerned over where we as a nation might be headed. And how many times in the recent history have you thought about your own children or your grandchildren what they are going to have to face. And if situation ethics becomes the rule of the day, as it has with so many, then we are going to see that there's not going to be a standard at all that anybody is going to live by. And all of these bring about problems. All of these bring about troubles. And yet if we would simply apply what the Bible has to say, then these things would go away. These problems and concerns that we face in our society would be lessened. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 in 6th chapter verses 18 through 20 talks about us collectively and individually as being the temple of God, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, of how we are to act. Galatians 5 verses 16 through 26, we studied on Sunday morning concerning the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, how we are to follow and be and live by those things. And if we do, if we live by the fruits of the Spirit, produce those in our life, then so many problems in the area of morals are going to go away. The Bible has the answers. The problem is man just simply won't listen to it. Man will not listen to God. In the area of broken homes, and once again, this is a great difficulty in the society in which we live. We find that there's so many problems there. This may be the number one problem facing our nation. Because it affects the husband, it affects the wife, it affects the children. And have you ever thought about it? Once it starts affecting that family relationship, it affects everything else in our society. Our whole way of thinking, our whole philosophy in this nation is being reshaped because of the decline of the home. Our education system is being rethought because of it. Our government is being rethought and trying to be reinvented as a result of it. All of these things happen because of the decline of the family as God would have it. We can see the lax attitude that we have toward marriage and divorce and the role of the husband and the wife and the children in the home. And it affects us everywhere. How would God's law deal with these problems that seem to be so complicated that nobody can figure them out? The Word of God directs our attention to it, to solve these problems. And if we would just simply follow what God said, so many problems would not arise. But yet people want to neglect the Word of God and then get in these situations and then hopefully God can find some way out. But if they would simply listen to God first, they wouldn't have these problems. To ignore God's law does not negate God's law. It is God who has instituted marriage. And if we want to enter into the marriage relationship, then we have to abide by His laws, whether we are Christians or whether we are non-Christians. And if we break them, that means we're going to have to answer to Him for our disobedience. God's law addresses these problems, and it will solve so many. But again, people just do not want. They do not want the Bible to have this kind of influence in their life. But finally, we see that the Bible addresses foremost the spiritual needs that we have. We do have spiritual needs. We find all kinds of answers to man's spiritual needs in the religious world. We can go to any particular denomination we want, and they'll give you an answer. They'll give you their solution to whatever need it might be arising spiritually. But you could find any number, and they will be in conflict one with the other as how these needs are to be met. But the Word of God provides for us so many things in the spiritual sense. It provides for our need and forgiveness of our sins. As we can read in such places as Acts 2 and verse 38 and 22 and 16, how that those that were on the day of Pentecost repented and were baptized, had their sins removed, washed away, in baptism. There was a forgiveness. And this is provided for in the Word of God. It provides for a spiritual food whereby we can grow. And it is the only thing that gives us this spiritual food. Nothing else on this earth provides for us the spiritual food we need to grow by than the Word of God. It is able to stabilize our life and our faith. That as we live day to day, and as we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in God, He provides for us. It gives us stability in this physical life that we have. It gives us joy in living, in being God's children that nothing else can provide. It gives unto us comfort in times of sorrow and hope in times of death. And once again, these are needs that we have. These are spiritual needs that the Word of God provides. But once again, even in this area, we find so many in this world who simply will not listen to the Word of God. They do not want to humble themselves before the mighty hand of God and be obedient unto Him. They want to find their own solutions to their problems. The Bible provides these solutions. The Bible gives us the answer. All we have to do is listen. Why is it that man does not turn to the Word of God? I'm afraid some have just simply lost faith in the Bible. They've lost faith in God. Some had their eyes blinded by the God of this world. Some look to see what the Bible has to say, and they've discovered they don't like the answers that it gives, and so they turn away from it. Some want to rely upon their own wisdom, and others just simply want to reject God altogether. They don't care what He has to say. But I am convinced that His Word is the answer. Now, it may not answer our questions in the way that we like, but it will answer the questions that we have. And whether I like what God has to say or not, doesn't matter. I'm still subject to His Word. I can't change it. So what I must do is simply accept it. And if I don't accept it, then I am going to reject it. What will it be with you this morning? Concerning the Word of God. Concerning the needs that you have, the problems and questions that arise, where are you going to turn to? Are you going to turn to the wisdom of man? Are you going to turn to those philosophies that man has set up? And once again, I believe we'll all agree with the fact that man cannot establish a perfect law. There's always going to be faults with it because man is imperfect. But God, who is perfect, has given us a perfect law. And if we allow it to have free course in our life, it'll solve our problems. It is the only thing that provides for our spiritual needs. Do you have any spiritual needs this morning? Someone outside of the fold of safety, you do. You have a need to surrender yourself unto Christ, to be obedient unto His will. And as you humble yourself and as you are obedient, you can become a child of God. If you're here this morning, subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and as we sing the song?